Tea with Tom, or Tea as my sister calls me.
Well, good morning. This is Tom, the tea guy, and I'm at one of our favorite coffee shops here in Redlands called the Meek House. And with me are Gianna and Elizabeth, and they're owners of the Meek House and partners. And we love our woman entrepreneurs. My sister started Summit Tea Company, and we took it over later, but it was her vision that really got it going. So go women entrepreneurs. Yeah. So anyway, what I want to do is just pick up our conversation before we got started. So what are these, and what's the challenge here at the Meek House?
So these are our house pastry called the Cornulets. It's actually a Romanian pastry that, and it's my mother's recipe, but it can't be found within Romania as well. It's filled with plum butter and there's powdered sugar all over it. So the challenge is that you have to eat the cornulettes without actually licking your lips the entire time. So it's quite a challenge.
How neat can you be?
Oh, no.
And the answer is you just can't do it.
We definitely encourage everybody who tries it to just enjoy the experience.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool that it's your mom's recipe and it's a Romanian recipe. Mm-hmm. So you guys are Romanian.
Yes.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
I mean, so we're...
That's a culture.
Lots of culture. So we were born here, but our parents had immigrated in the late 80s from Romania. And so they were the first generation here. So we speak full Romanian. It's actually our first language. So it's pretty neat.
So you're bilingual, at least.
Yes.
So is Romanian like is it a Slavic language or is it a Latin?
Latin.
It's a Latin language?
Yes.
Okay, so you could pick up Spanish or French probably pretty easy.
Yeah,
for sure. Guys, I was learning something cool about you. Well, that's great. So your mom and dad immigrated to the U.S. That must have been a really big deal.
Especially at that time, it was right, our mom got here right before the fall of communism.
Wow.
And my dad actually my dad's story is kind of interesting. He waited 8 years to get approval from the government to come here. And then my mom, won a lottery to come
out. Your mom won a lottery?
It was a visa lottery at the time, yeah. So it was like they only had certain amount of people that could leave the country, and she was one that was able to obtain that. So that's where their story kind of restarted.
Well, cool. So your dad teaches at Yucaipa, neighboring town high school, right? And so did he come with the vision of his daughters yet to be born starting a coffee shop?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think he still wakes up daily what? What were they thinking? But he was always one to back us up and definitely support us in any crazy decision we ever came up with because I think because of his background, because of where they came from, and because of the opportunities that he foresaw early on before he ever even met my mom.
Wow. So it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting how it unfolded. Our mom is a business owner herself.
She is.
18 years. And so...
So pretty much all of your lives.
Our
right?
lives, mm-hmm. exactly. So growing up, watching her put forth all that effort and, you know, kind of be anchored, but to something else other than us, but at the same time, being able to balance everything out was quite the inspiration. I don't know how she does it.
Don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, as life catches up with you, right? Mm-hmm. So, Gianna, you're still single, right, and a student, so you're the younger of the two. But, Elizabeth, you're married now. How long have you been married?
2 years in November.
Okay, and you're expecting your first one.
Yep.
Here. So life is catching up to you, and you're quickly finding yourself kind of in that position your mom was in 18 years ago.
Right.
So wonderful to have that example to grow up with, because there's a lot of ladies who have a hard time figuring that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they end up leaving their career or leaving their pursuit. Because it's hard. It is hard. There's no question about it. But it can be done.
Right.
That's the good news,
right.
I think.
Right. And I think for us, having this space and having a very well-intentioned, employed staff, pretty much, I wouldn't say crafted to our liking, but having people that have, like, stood behind us and, like, said, okay, we want to carry this through with you and not just work for us has definitely been an eye-opener to where it's like, okay, you know what, and kind of an encouraging thing as well to say, we can do other things alongside this. So I think that, you know, having this space, it does give us the opportunity to not only expand our business goals, but also our personal goals.
Gee, well said. I'll hire you. Okay, well, speaking of those goals, so what is the vision of the Meek House?
You can start. I'll expand my
love. You guys can talk over each other. It doesn't
matter. At this point, I mean, we're just so grateful that we are here and we were able to open up this place. I think our vision, I mean, to keep this place and to be able to have it running really well where we're able to open up another spot. And I think alongside with just starting to roast right now, at the beginning of the year, I think that can also take us to another level where we can start distributing to other places as well. Just basically spreading what we are able to do and just like our motto, like spreading kindness with every cup of coffee. I think that's a really important thing and that's what we're kind of hoping for later on.
And
if we're able to expand that,
yeah, and along the lines of spreading kindness, I mean, we have this like little mantra that we say, stay humble, be kind, drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not very much just limited to that. It's a matter of we are a family-owned business, but we do have charity in mind. So the original vision was for sure to keep it small, but we have now learned that we have to kind of expand not only our horizons as far as, you know, networking and, like, meeting other people, but at the same time trying to find different organizations that are willing to work with us in order to just kind of give more, whether it's serving them personally or serving the community wide.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of our vision initially, to use companies, you know, whether it's product that we buy or, I mean, down to literally the bean from coffee to, or from farm to our tables, making an impact not only locally but overseas. So our hope is to just continue to take that small-mindedness, but intimate feel
mm-hmm.
across other areas.
There we go.
Yeah.
By the way, on behalf of Summit Tea, I'd like to say thank you for being our customer.
Yeah.
We love serving you guys. And thanks that we're also, maybe then, as I hear it, a small part of your vision.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
So we'd love to share that with you. Yay! So, speaking of tea, we're all drinking coffee here.
I know.
but
it was a coffee day.
But what teas are working for you guys?
Oh, we have quite the selection.
We do.
We were just talking about it the other day, how like a pretty much a quarter of our customers that come in order tea.
No kidding.
Yeah.
A quarter.
Yeah.
I would have not expected that.
Exactly. So it's really important for us to continue to definitely, you know, promote the different options that we have, because we have numerous types of groups and cultures even that come through, and some are like, no, we don't do coffee, but do you have tea? Mm-hmm. And to be able to present that to them and to be able to present more than one, you know.
It's something that's not in a staple tea bag.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's really neat to kind of just, like, expand other people's palates, too. And some people are like, oh, like, can you make these iced? You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, can you make a latte? Sure. So we're very versatile with our tea selection.
Yay.
We've created quite a bit with your tea, Tom.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea. You know, we don't make rules. Yeah. We really want to provide principles to get started, and then the raw materials for you guys to take it and make it personal and make it work for you. Mm-hmm. That's the whole fiendish plan. So I'm glad it's really working. A quarter, yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
It's really about 1 out of 7 people drink tea, something like that. So you guys are like doubled up.
Yeah.
I think people have learned there's something good here. Yeah. Tea works well for you financially too, right? Mm-hmm. Tea has great margins.
Definitely.
And it helps support you and your vision. Maybe that's all a part of it. So, you alluded to it, but you guys have decided to start roasting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what was that decision about?
Well, it was mainly, there's sun in your eyes. I like to get
this one. You can scoot your chair a little bit if you don't want to.
Okay.
End up with cataracts at age 21. There we go.
She's like, yeah, that was fantastic. The decision to roast really, actually, it stemmed from curiosity to just, you know, being empowered, like, no, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to be, again, intentional with where our money goes, which farms to choose from, and then essentially which families to, like, are we able to help. So I think that...
It's like the family that grows coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In Central America.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And so for us to roast... we no longer have to go through, like, a middleman or ask somebody, like, hey, can you check out this area or check out this area? Or I heard about this family that does this really neat overseas. So that was kind of a key component for us to not only be, you know, limited to a certain importer or a certain area of the world, but definitely for us to just be able to expand not only our knowledge in the coffee farm industry, but to also be able to help.
Yeah.
More.
You guys didn't just go out and spend $50,000 on a giant coffee roaster and all of that. So what?
No.
But you kind of have an in-between step, as I understand
right.
it. So what? How did that come about, and how would you describe it?
Yeah. So actually, one of our employees was. Is the owner of Hearthwood Roasters.
Kevin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kevin up in Yucaipa. Early on, and so he was one that actually sparked our curiosity and was like, you know, you guys can, like, do this. And we're like, no, we can't. We never thought about this. Like, no, we have way too much to do. And
well, it's probably
like,
true, too.
Right? Yeah. He's like, well, you know, it's really, like, you guys can do this. Like,
really? So he was encouraging
you? Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was one to, like, instigate first, and then it was just like, okay, can we do this? And we tried to slowly introduce it into our customer base.
Right.
And we got great feedback. Uh-huh. And so then at the first of the year, this year, we were like, let's just do it. It's going to be all ours.
Right.
And then, of course, we could offer them variety, and, you know, we play off of the feedback of customers. Do they like it? Do they not?
Yeah.
Can
they
I tweak
like
something?
It,
yeah. So that's kind of nice that, like, I'm able to be behind bar, but also
to have direct
roast.
Contact
yeah.
with your customers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things where a shop like yours can go wrong is when a person is so entrenched in a particular paradigm or philosophy of doing business or coffee or whatever that might be, that they don't listen to their customers.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like such a fundamental thing, but it is not.
Yeah.
And it's hard to sometimes let go of things that you really love, but mm-hmm. you might be the only one.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well, you know, so let's look back a little bit, though. I want to know where the Meek House name came from. There's got to be a story there.
Yeah.
And how does that fit with you guys? I know it does.
Right.
But how does it fit?
When we were coming up with different names, I know that my sister had always thought of Matthew 5:5, of those who are made will inherit the earth. And so when we had created the Meek House, we had wanted a place to feel like a home. And so creating the Meek House, we wanted to be able to serve people and to have them feel like they are coming home every single time, a place where they feel comfortable with everybody around. And then just being faith-based as well, just the Meek House. And it's funny because a lot of people come in and they're like, what does Meek mean? And so we have it actually written on our back wall on Matthew 5:5, that those who are meek shall inherit the earth. And so a lot of people actually are very appreciative that we are open about our faith within the name in it itself and just the way that we are able to serve people humbly.
Right, and so to kind of add on to that, the coffee industry can be very snobby. And we kind of encountered that early on, like throughout my college
career.
Yeah, you walk into a shop and they're like,
"Oh, it's kind of an elitist kind of a thing." Oh,
yes,
that's a little disturbing, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. So I'm like, "Why? I'm your customer. I'm about to buy something from you. At least say hello."
I'm your
you
friend.
Know?
Hello. No.
So, we definitely want it to be different. And so, I mean, not only is the word meek different, but I hope the way we serve people is different and they see that and that, you know, we don't lose craft and quality over our service and vice versa. So we're very intentional with how we greet people initially and then, you know, how we actually serve them and how we kindly educate our customers on mm-hmm. something that we call a craft.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example of that. When I think of the very plastic typical Starbucks intro, mm-hmm. what can I get started for you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, psh. Yeah. My name's Tom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for us, it's, you know, hello, welcome. We're kind of playing with a new greeting of maybe saying something like welcome home to play off of the house name. But, you know, the difference between specialty coffee shops and then franchise coffee shops is it comes down to the size of the coffee and then how it's created. We're very manual. Base behind bar.
Well, that's the whole third wave, right? It's handcrafted.
Right, and our sizes are based off of European sizes. The original macchiato is not going to be 12 ounces. It is a 3-ounce drink, okay? So when customers come in and they're like, "Can I get a caramel macchiato?" we just kind of look at them and we're like, "Sure. Actually, you know, did you try ours yet? It's actually 3 ounces. We don't want to disappoint you. Is, you know, was this what you were looking for, or
right,
is this
right.
size what you were looking for?" And in that matter, we're not shaming them for not knowing what a macchiato is. And secondly, they learned something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
sometimes we throw that in there too, like Starbucks ruined the macchiato. Next.
Exactly. If you want sugar and water, whip it up. We can do that. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool. So I really like that you guys are pretty clear on what you are and what you're about. So getting off the dime, going from concept to reality is a big deal, right? Three frogs sitting on a log, two decide to jump. How many are left? Yeah. The answer is three. Because yeah. deciding to jump and actually jumping are two different yeah. things. So what got you guys to jump? What was the tipping point in saying we've got to do this?
I think we all have like a different take on that
yeah,
one.
I think
but
so.
At the end of the day, it was a matter of, you know, this is a dream, and, you know, our parents had a dream, and they followed through with it, and I think that was instilled in us, too. We don't just dream. We actually run after them. So it came down to, you know, we either, you know, this is an open door. Are we going to walk through it, or are we just going to say, you know, it's not for me, or it's going to be too hard?
Too risky, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so obviously it had a lot to do with our parents being willing to trust us with such a big commitment and really just to follow through.
So do you mind if I ask how old you were when you guys first made that decision?
The dream or decision to start?
The decision to start
okay.
and chase after the dream.
I was 21. And so it's been 2 years, almost 3 years
okay.
now.
So it's 25. Already in my career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Already in your career?
Mm-hmm.
So what was your career?
I'm actually still a physical therapist
okay.
assistant. Yeah, I worked at a local hospital for 6 years before I stepped back to just being on call.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you started working at the hospital when you were
21.
13.
21.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, so that's important. I think there's a direct connection between a person's backstory and how that tipping point was overcome. So for you guys, you described it as like your mom and dad were chasing a dream,
yeah.
that is immigrating to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
overcoming or escaping
mm-hmm.
communism,
mm-hmm.
and it's you know, riot of you know, of bad things.
Mm-hmm. And control.
And control,
thing,
yeah.
yeah,
to a place where you could make this kind of decision.
Yeah.
So obviously your mom and your dad have really supported you in this. So I mean, I look around your shop, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean, the design of this is fabulous. So you bring more than just desire to the table, right? So what's the story behind the vibe, you know, that and why is it the way that it is? I mean, I love plank flooring, right? You know, but there's more to it.
Yeah, well, being European, my parents had a lot, especially my mom, how this place would look as well, alongside of me and my sister. And it's funny because you see my dad behind bar trying to help out customers, everybody comes in and they're like, wow, this place is amazing. And he'll say, it's all my daughter's and my wife's job. He's like, I was able to just put everything down and they have basically built this place up. So behind it, we wanted to make it a nice, cozy place where people feel welcomed. With some of the things that we have hung up, we try to give it that European vibe to try to bring a little bit of home.
Yeah, our culture.
Here. So,
yeah, that's important, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? That your roots really matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was it. Other than that, I mean, we definitely looked at Pinterest.
Yeah. Pinterest
board inspirations have come to life.
Well, when you talk
yeah.
about home, I think about the comfortable chairs
mm-hmm.
here and the table. The fact that the you know, the back of the bench along
mm-hmm.
over there is pleated,
yeah.
looks kind of
yeah.
like a couch. Yeah, I got that, but it's still European. It's so clean
yeah.
in the lines, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mission
yeah.
accomplished.
A lot to do.
So,
yeah,
okay,
true, yeah.
so the big question, and by the way, you don't have to answer this in depth, but for that person who's thinking about it and going, well, you know, good luck to me, you know, I don't have a bottomless checkbook to go do something like that. So how did you guys make it work financially to get started?
Well, initially it was very much an investment from our parents' point of view. Definitely, you know, entrusting us with a lot, especially their checkbook. Because, I mean, it's not like they have a lot of money and it's not like we have a lot of money to have contributed. So,
yeah.
Again, things were very intentionally placed and, you know, budgeted and, you know, where we could cut corners and work on things ourselves, we definitely did. And so there are ways to make it happen. But, you know, it all kind of works out when you have a little bit of faith.
You know, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in any endeavor that involves the money that you don't have, the first place, the first tier of funding is always family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a good place to start. Well, obviously, they feel like they got their money's worth. Now, your dad also, though, he ran the interference with the city, right? He's the one who handled permits, mm-hmm. met with inspectors, you know, dealt with all of that. So
yes.
He kind of took a certain part of that job on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they would have looked one time at us and been like,
yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how helpful. I mean,
yeah.
And strategic,
yeah.
Right? So there has to have been some hard lessons learned getting
mm-hmm.
started, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what were some of those hard lessons? Can you think of any? Or, no, it was just smooth.
Yeah,
all
just
the way.
Just smooth.
Yeah.
I think for us, it was just sacrificing a lot of our personal time to be here 24/7.
Yeah.
So,
I think that was something that we underestimated initially.
How much time it was going to take.
Yeah. Not only with build out, but at the same time, you know, the second we opened doors, we thought that, you know, our staff would just take over. But we ended up wanting to work alongside them, not only to, you know, show them that, hey, we want it done this way.
Yeah.
But to show them that this is how we all will do it, and we'll be right there next to you to work with you.
Yeah.
And to kind of give them that reassurance, too, and not so much of that, you know.
So, like, nearly 3 years later, you guys are still doing that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think, basically, culture flows down from the people that own the company.
Mm-hmm.
And the alarming thing is that you can see your own dysfunction sometimes in your business. Because of that, you see the good and the strengths, and you see the dysfunction, too. I've had the unsavory process experience of doing that myself.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you kind of learn. All right, so you had to overcome some early obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you were to go back, and what would you say to a younger you who was just starting out with this whole thing, looking at plans, figuring out how much it's going to cost, what the price tag's going to be with your lifetime commitment and all that.
Yeah.
What would you say to that younger version of you guys?
Don't do it. You literally go through that roller coaster daily, though, because you're just like,
why did I do this versus
where
I'm so glad I did
it?
Where did
this come from? Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, you have to be, I realize, you know, I thought I was a flexible person initially. And then I was like, oh, I am not a flexible person. So I guess to tell my younger me is to hold on to, you know, the ride. Literally just, like, hang on for the ride because it is a journey. And my Enneagram 1 wants to just say, I'm going to get to that destination in, like, 2.5 seconds. Watch me. Instead of just being like, okay, this is a process.
Mm-hmm.
And to trust in the process. That's, I think that's key. Because for me, Meek is not only, you know, a place for us, or it's not just, you know, the gentle strength is what I like to call it. But it's definitely a lifestyle, and it's something that I like hashtagged early on, journey to being Meek, or journey to Meek, because it's definitely a personal journey as well.
Yeah, so it's like you set the direction with your vision, right? But it seems like the vision has come back around and shaped you too.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I feel like our characters have definitely been shaped over time.
Yeah. So what about you, Gianna? What would you say to the younger Gianna?
Oh, boy. I mean, it was a little difficult for me when I was first starting it out, just because at that point...
Just a little.
Because at that point, I was actually trying to figure out what I had wanted to do in my college career. So just going into college, I wanted to do something else. And then as soon as we opened up this place, I was actually... I actually had, like, a slight mental breakdown because I was going to CBU and... At that point, I just sat there and was like, what am I doing? I was like, is this something that I want to do with, like, school and the coffee shop? So then trying to figure out what I had actually wanted to do at school, I took a break from that, and I put everything into this place. And I think just telling my younger self is just take it easy. Right. Like, everything, I mean, being Christian, it's all in God's plan. So if I want to say, like, I'm going to do this, it's like, no. Like, there's something else that's going to come, something that's going to be better. So then just have faith for that, honestly, because I really wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Well, you've gone back to school now, haven't you? Okay.
Yeah.
So you obviously felt like you could create enough margin. Did you, like, change a major? Or?
I did. So at CBU, I was actually majoring in kinesiology and then minoring in mathematics. And then when I saw complete opposite
science.
Your
dad's a math teacher, isn't he?
He was a math teacher, but yeah, he's a science teacher, actually.
Yeah, and he has the robotics
Physics.
Club.
He has the
and,
engineering.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it kind of runs in the family a little bit. Oops, excuse me.
So at that point, I had changed and I had wanted to be a teacher, kind of something that I wanted to do my entire life, but I kind of just put it off to the side.
Okay.
And so I started going back to school and I'm a math major with a physics minor. So going back into that after being here for so long, it was a little rough, but I was able to balance it out with going to school and being here too.
Okay.
Having family.
Yeah.
That's in management who gives you your schedule.
I bet that helps, actually, right?
What is your schedule like this semester?
Okay.
That's good. Okay, so how'd you guys figure out who does what? So, you know, Gianna, you had to set aside school, right? And had to kind of emotionally get your arms around what all that was about and being here 24/7, as Elizabeth said.
Yeah.
Right? So, how about that?
I mean, it was rough, but once it's like your own place,
you
kind of bond with it, don't you?
It's not
just a you own a job, right? It's more like a life.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we're driving home, and it's like, oh, let me just, like, go by the shop real quick, whether it's, like, to get a cup of coffee, or you just have this feeling that there's a rush, and you might need to be helping out behind bar.
Yeah.
It's become a part of who we are.
Yeah.
My husband refers to me as the coffee lady.
we'll forgive him.
He works in healthcare, and everybody's like, your wife's the coffee lady. We're just like,
that's right, and roasting now, too, by the way.
So it's kind of, it's become who we are.
Okay, well, you know, an interesting thing that's come out of this, we have yet to actually do it, but we have talked about Summit Tea and the Meek House teaming up to do local fundraisers, particularly for high school, junior high, college clubs and organizations, or for that matter, a church or youth group or whatever that might be, to kind of get their projects on, to give them something better than selling cheesy candy bars or something like that, you know, particularly something local, you know, in that way. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, we've yet to do it, but how would you describe kind of your guys' thought process in that? You mentioned the community and all that.
Right. So when we initially heard about it, we thought of, you know, oh, this goes right along our vision and our heart for community and our heart for service. So, you know, to add a little bit of extra work to my work schedule, it didn't seem like it would, you know, be work because it's just, I mean, I'm roasting anyway. That'd be awesome to roast, you know, with the intention of being able to help another cause. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this came to a head for me when one of the local high school's band had all their instruments stolen. Mm-hmm. You know, and most schools don't have the money to just write a check for instruments. And we were thinking, you know, we could give a donation, but as far as Summit T and our ability to write big checks, they probably wouldn't get a tuba's worth out of it, you know, and there's a lot more to the band than that. And so how do we help them be successful? And frankly, I believe that there's, you know, $1 million in our community that would be given for projects just like that if people had the opportunity or knew or could, there could be kind of enough of a transaction there that they feel that it's kind of a win-win. Okay, well, let's project into the future here a little bit. Okay, let's step 5 years. You guys have mentioned goals, and Gianna, you've got a business face that comes on and then off. You know, and I love that. I love that. So let's look 5 years down the road. You know, so what about on the personal side? Family side, raising a family side. So what's 5 years from now look like?
Thank you no more.
I'm like, 5 years from now.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Man. Wright, if he's watching, you know. Better be smart,
though.
Be
a matron of honor. During the best bachelorette party with coffee. Yeah, I mean, you know, with family-wise, I mean, to think that I have a little girl running around here is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm.
Is that what's on its way?
Yeah. Yes, and that's terrifying. But to have this space that feels like home will definitely be something that I'm getting emotional about that. I think, like, if you, like, bring your kid to work every day, like, that'd be so cool. So for 5 years from now to just have a space to where we can, like, continue to be family, but at the same time continue to serve our community and to show her that, like, you know, things are possible.
Kind of like what your mom did.
Yeah, exactly, to carry that on.
Well, that's something worth passing on.
Yeah, and to show her that, you know, like, yeah, things can get hard, and yeah, this place feels like a ball and chain sometimes, but at the same time, it's not only, you know, helping us out, but it's helping so many more people out, and I think that's what we're called to do, to ultimately be able to present to others the kindness that was extended to us. Definitely not to that extent, but at least to show them a little bit of that love.
Yeah.
But, you know, from a business standpoint, we started doing a kind of a mobile cart, teamed up with, you know, an event trailer, Dalton & Company event trailers, kind of throw their name out there, who's also a family-run business, who's basically, like, created this awesome trailer for people to work out of, and that gives us the opportunity to be like, hey, this is something we thought we couldn't do, but now we can, because you guys basically created the model we were looking for. Mm-hmm. So the mobile side of and the catering side of Meek hopefully would have expanded by then to where, you know, we could be at events, charity events, and be able to take our coffee on the road.
Bachelorette.
Okay. Well, so what would you guys say to the older version of you 5 years from now?
You thought that was hard.
Or, I mean, look at you now.
Yeah. I don't know. Right now, I think because I'm still in school, that it's like, again, just have faith that everything's going to be okay.
It's hard to get your head up out of the tall grass and look around.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Until you get through the other
like,
side.
5 years, Tom, that's a lot to think about. I'm like, give me 2 years.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know. Because I'm thinking, honestly, just 2 years. I'm thinking up until 2 years where I know that I'll be having my teaching credentials and then finishing my master's. But alongside this as well that, gosh. I don't know
what you would say to your five-year-older self.
Well, yeah. I mean, people get busy. Mm-hmm. Things get more complicated. Maybe mm-hmm. you do have a second location. Mm-hmm. You've got the expanded catering business mm-hmm. and all of that. I mean, what do you not want to lose? Maybe that's a way to say it.
Oh.
In all of the business or complexity that the future may hold. I mean, what's really important to hang on to?
For me, it would be the small, intimate feeling. Sometimes, like, I think of expansion as losing quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I would much rather keep quality over quantity mm-hmm. any day. But I also know that, you know, in order to grow, we have to stretch one way or another. I think for me would be to not lose sight of what our original vision was, and is, and to continue to just, be able to give. If we do expand, then hey, that's awesome because that gives us more opportunity to help more organizations over time. So
sure.
I kind of look at it that way.
Yep.
Right.
I would go along the same lines of just losing that quality because I feel like as soon as you start expanding, like she said, like instead of looking at like quantity, I'd rather just, like, keep the quality the same. So not where, like, if we were to expand to another location where it's, like, that location is better than this location.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
Yeah, consistency, I feel like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just being humble throughout the entire process. Because there have been people that I've seen where it's, like, as soon as something gets better, things start going along, like, really well. And as soon as, like, that one little iceberg or tip of the iceberg. So I just keeping the same throughout the entire process of looking backwards, like this is where we started and just keeping that the same.
Yeah, not losing track of that.
Don't forget where
mm-hmm.
you came from and what your vision was, yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well let's say that we're sitting across the table from a young woman
mm-hmm.
who has got coffee in her eyes, so to speak. Right? She's thinking about it. She's she's at that point where the teeter totter could tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you have to say to her? What would you tell her to do or not to do?
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage her?
I mean, all of us, we all started with a dream. So I would say just stick with it. I mean, there are going to be, like she said, like it's a roller coaster. There are going to be ups, there are going to be downs, but as long as you stay with it, anything can be made possible. So for us, it was just a dream 3 years ago. we started off with...
It was a dream, like, decades ago.
It really was a dream decades ago. But just staying with it. And I think for us, it was kind of always something just, like, that we had thought about. And then as soon as an opportunity rose, we were like, you know what? I think it is time. I think let's actually make this dream a reality. And so, I mean, if it's possible for us, especially as women in this world, to being entrepreneurs, that it is possible for her as well. That if she just, I mean, and again, it's like within the community too. So if, I don't know.
I would definitely tell her, I mean, because, like, as women, we pay attention to detail, mm-hmm. and we tend to get lost in the complexities of things and want to, you know, have variety, have this and that, but keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Because when you start to add things that don't really matter, then... You know, you kind of get lost in the details and lose sight of what you're actually really trying to do. I think the key thing for us was to make sure that we keep it simple. Not only will it help the checkbook, but also, you know, people will appreciate the memories that they make in your space, not so much the cloth on the, like, the upholstery.
Okay, well, what would you tell her not to do? So you've offered encouragement, you know. So what would you tell her not to do? It seemed like there was a point where you guys had an opportunity mm-hmm. that presented itself. Is that, mm-hmm. do I interpret that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe back up a little bit and tell us a little bit about that opportunity. How did that tip you guys?
Yeah, so, I mean... To be honest, it wasn't the ideal time frame whatsoever. I was planning my wedding. So to also build out a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Also build out a coffee shop and working lot. So I would say that the opportunity, I mean, didn't really just fall into our laps, but... we saw the need for a shop, a coffee shop in this area.
In the mall area.
In the mall area, yeah. So, I mean, it's not, you know, someplace that specialty coffee shops are found these days. It's not an independent building. It's, you know, it's in the center of, like, what they call the food court of this area. It's kind of in the middle of three cities. The donut hole of Redlands is what they call it. So it was kind of an interesting location, but we saw the need for it to where it's not just, you know, people who know coffee. It's people who actually, you know, just really want a space to hang out and just maybe, like, sit for a couple of hours while... Their wife is like,
down.
Yeah, or traffic dies down,
or
like something.
Or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
so we're
yeah.
so close to so many different areas that we were like, yeah, let's look into this place. Let's see if there is a spot open mm-hmm. in this area. And there was. And it was kind of interesting because all the other shops in this center are all franchise.
Yeah.
So for us to be like, hey, we have this vision, we have this idea, you know, to present it to head honchos in LA, who own this shopping center and pretty much this whole area, was kind of nerve-wracking, you know. So I don't think that it just, like, fell into our laps because we really had to prove ourselves, like, hey, yeah, we don't have the business background in this, but mom has it in this, and it's been successful, and, you know, like, we've been consistent in what we personally do, and I think that they saw the opportunity as well to just open doors to something that's different,
mm-hmm.
and I think we've definitely shown them that
yeah,
over the
really
years.
Happy with you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, makes a lot of sense, I think. Because you have a great location. I mean, mm-hmm. the traffic is incredible here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, bravo. So, maybe on the what not to do question again.
Mm-hmm.
So, that gal is sitting across the table, and she's got stars in her eyes, you know, but you're going to tell her, you're going to save her some pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are you going to do that?
Not to do.
Don't do this. Keeping it simple, by the
way.
Yeah. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
I think particularly as a Christian, you can have a sense that God is leading you to do something.
Yeah.
People will tend to embellish that and take it off in a little different direction and kind of wonder why they're only the sum of their efforts and not that sense of God being with them. Well, it's because they kind of took things off the tracks.
Right. What not to do would be to not be discouraged early on by customers that don't understand you. Or to not be discouraged by... and not only just customers, but people that don't understand your vision, your dream, your plan. I think that we're easily influenced by people in general, society in general. We put limitations on ourselves and, you know, are kind of shamed for having dreams outside of the norm. You didn't finish college and you run this. What do you mean? You don't have, you know, a business degree and you run this. What do you mean? Things like that. It's kind of like, oh, that's mean to say, but thank you for the compliment somewhere, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, I run this place and I don't have a business degree. So I think just to... My advice is to really just keep your head down and not let others define your dreams, not let others define what you can and cannot do, and to not let others place limitations on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, this is your work, and nobody's going to believe in your dream as much as you do.
That's for sure.
So... It really comes down to advice like that, not like, oh, don't pick that color,
Yeah.
I'm like, because we were very intentional with the colors we chose because we wanted things to look a certain way and for our employees to clean a certain way. If something's white and it's dirty, like, you can see it. So maybe let's clean it.
Yeah.
I mean, just to go based off of hers again, at the beginning, you're going to have people who aren't going to understand your vision.
Yeah.
Again.
Well, there's people that just like to...
Exactly.
Like, ...use the word poop on things.
Yeah. so do not be discouraged by that because they don't know and they don't see the behind the scenes. They only see what... you put out there, they don't see how hard it was to actually get this place started.
Yeah,
they don't
heart
know.
And emotion.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Passion.
Yeah. So, like, all that hard work, they only see a little bit of you, and then they decide to stomp on it. And that's where you have to say, no, I mean, like, this is what I believe, and this is how I believe that things are going to be. And yeah, just don't let anybody discourage you because this is your dream.
Yeah.
If this is yours, you can't have somebody say, no, that dream isn't good enough or anything
Yeah. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Is there anything that you wanted to say about the Meek House that we missed in our conversation? Or did we nail it?
We miss anything?
I don't.
Other than actually taking part of the Cornelette's Challenge, no. I don't think you've had one, Tom.
You know, I think we got to do this. We can't just talk about it. But I can't do it by myself.
Okay.
So I need a lesson. So here, I'm going to...
You can't...
Oh, you're unfolding your napkin like
yeah.
you know what's coming. Okay. Let's do it.
I
so,
was just going to let it fall.
First of all here, cheers.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, here.
Cheers.
And no licking the lips.
No
right?
licking the
okay.
lips. Okay.
Okay. Go, Mom.
Well, this is rough.
Plum insides.
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell this?
I lost.
Well, I'm going to finish anyway.
Funny. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you spell the name of this pastry?
Corn. U-L-E-T-E.
Oh.
But does the T has an accent mark under the T.
So it gives it a... So, yeah. So cornulets.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
And a little lesson in Romanian while we're at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no way.
I gave up too. Elizabeth Pracht and that.
Yep. I'm like, I was like,
if the pros have trouble with it, can't help the poor amateurs.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks, Nicole.
Yeah. So, just out of curiosity, what is your best-selling summit tea?
Tropical Breeze and Tropical Black. Lately, that's all I've been selling.
Yeah.
From the herbals, though, I'd say the Summit Blueberry, especially as a London Fog as well, if they don't want that extra caffeine in anything. And then the Summit Sunset.
Mm.
Vanilla Rooibos.
Vanilla Rooibos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, that's about...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what my wife does with the Vanilla Rooibos?
Mm.
She drinks it every morning. What she does is she takes just a little drop of maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that sweetness just...
Nice.
I'll have to try that.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you guys, thanks. It's been great. And you guys have to open up here pretty soon, right? You know, duty calls. But really appreciate it. Love being part, you know, small part of your vision, supporting that. So let's just keep doing those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. You'll have to take the last one to Patty.
Might not make it. So you don't ask her how it tastes. Okay.